from the heart of the Carolinas, a voice of reason, an oasis of civility and humanity.
I'm on a journey, the pursuit of truth, not just facts to fill the head, but also life-changing power to change hearts and transform minds. A journey of relationship, to connect to people of goodwill everywhere, to build upon civil society, to transcend tribal divisions with timeless values and love, a growing coalition of choice, not coercion. Are you with me?
This is the Vince Coakley Radio Program.
Normally all that good stuff you just heard would be on the air. And Vince Coakley will return. But I got the call late last night. My pal Vince, a little under the weather. And who stands ready to come in? Who is eager to be reunited with friendships, loved ones, and innocent bystanders in the Carolinas? Nobody but yours truly. The recovering congressman, High Point native, proud NC State grad, even though I was recruited as right tackle, ended up left out. And in my appointment with destiny, absconded out to the desert and served in the Congress of the United States as a representative from Arizona. Oh, yeah, twixt and tween that, spent 5 years as the sports anchor at Channel 4 Greenville. Since we unite the Carolinas with this simulcast, WBT Charlotte, WORD Greenville Spartanburg, and it's great fun. So, yes, this is JD. No need to adjust or fine-tune your audio device. Just keep it right here, because you and I have pretty much 2 hours of good times straight ahead. Did I say good times? You know, Freudian slip. Because off the air, we were remembering great stars. And I guess I want to get the pronunciation right. Janae Dubois just passed away in her early 70s, and you're going, man. Anyway, we were riffing on good times, and you know, as I took up residence in Arizona, there are some interestingly named streets throughout the U.S. of A. I think about North Carolina's capital of Raleigh, or as the city is called on a certain radio station down there, the way they used to call it, Raleigh. There was a little inconsequential road that, as things developed down there, and I mean literally developed with developers and whatnot, and buildings and people, this little road became a prominent boulevard, and it is named Ed Drive. So think about, here's the way to get really cheesy, thinking back to announcers in the 50s and 60s. Think about the community in which you live. What is a weird street name there? Well, out in the desert of Arizona, not too far from the Hayworth Hacienda, I don't want to get too graphic, in the general vicinity, there is a major road in Arizona named Dynamite. And so some of us, okay, one of us, who is a good times aficionado, calls it Jimmy J.J. Walker Boulevard. Dynamite! All right, that about does it for our 1970s quotient of the show. And on WBT earlier, Pat McCrory was talking about losing the younger audience. Well, you know, those of us who demographically are boomers, the way you dismiss us now is simply, okay, boomer. And of course, if nature eventually takes its course, as it does for all of us, eventually you replace okay, boomer, with three letters, R.I.P., but I ain't ready for that, and neither is Vince, normally heard at this time. We shan't violate his medical privacy. All I can tell you, if you think back to about a month ago, when I was behind this microphone and my pipes had a certain resonance, I had some sort of funky cold that I was able to do the show that day. But man, that thing hung on for 2 weeks. So here's hoping that's not going on with Vince. Now, I mentioned the better part of 2 hours. If you just flew into town and happened to turn on the radio, here's the way it works. This simulcast right now heard both on WBT and WORD at about a quarter till noon. WBT joins Bill O'Reilly. And, you know, we really got to, you'd think Bill would spring for a professional studio. I mean, it sounds like he's got an old Juliet cassette recorder. But maybe he's watching his pennies since the millions are safely in the vault. Anyway, Bill O'Reilly, news and comment on WBT about 11:45, which means if you're in the upstate of South Carolina listening on WORD, there will be exclusive upstate items for you. And today, we will turn to Southern nicknames. What is in a nickname? What import does it carry? Who may have had that nickname? Today, with apologies to the 1960s and the political / social movement and the horrible things that happened, I think it was Dion who had the big hit with Abraham, Martin, and John. Well, for the exclusive upstate content on WORD in the final quarter hour, it'll be Bubba, Bubber, and Pinky. Remembrances of the nicknames and at least a couple of the guys who had them in the Palmetto State. So that is coming for my pals who used to watch me on Channel 4 back in the day and who listen to me now, and I think it's probably much easier on your eyes not to have to see my countenance, but that is coming in our exclusive upstate comment. What is ahead today? Well, the president has headed west. In fact, he was in California for some events yesterday. And he will be in my old Arizona stomping grounds tonight while the Democrats debate, such as it is. And I guess the big sizzle there is Mayor Bloomberg gets invited in tonight.
And so you have Bernie, the Democrat socialist,
against Mayor Bloomberg, the Democrat capitalist. Stop and think about having to hyphenate that. That may be worth some discussion, but as always is the case, maybe it's just the persona of Donald John Trump has us all looking at him and listening to him, and he had some things to say yesterday, and it was followed by an unsourced story in the Washington Post. I know you're shocked about that. That will lead us off today. Plenty more I'll detail as we go along. The number to call, 704-570-1110, Charlotte and vicinity, toll free from any place, especially the upstate, 1-800-928-1110. It's JD for Vince.
This is the Vince Coakley radio program.
This is the Vince Coakley radio program with special guest host, J.D. Hayworth. Yes, I'll admit that I thought of that description for myself. Doesn't that surprise you? I mean, having been involved in two endeavors where there is no shortage of self-esteem, broadcasting and politics, and rolled into one overgrown package. You may want to call and give me a personality test or, metaphorically speaking, take a couple of inches out of my hide or just talk about what we're going to talk about now, which is news and current events. Toll free from any place, but especially the upstate of South Carolina. It's 1-800-928-1110. And for what we called back in the day, Metrolina, which sounds kind of like a train, for Metrolina, which would be Charlotte in vicinity, 704-570-1110. What matter of man is Donald John Trump, 45th President of the United States? Well, he's a rich man. Not as rich as Mike Bloomberg on the Democrat side of things, but there are some of us who get into public life and we are polarizing. There are people who really like us and people who really, well, let's just be candid about it, hate our guts. There are not a lot of people in between. And Mr. Trump, as some other folks with outsized personalities, if not great big bank accounts, hint, hint, Mr. Trump engenders a lot of devotion and, dare we say, revulsion from those who don't like him. Devotion from his supporters, revulsion from those who, well, simply don't agree with him politically. But very seldom do you find people who say, you know, I just don't really have a strong opinion on President Trump. In fact, the insight for me that that Mr. Trump would become President Trump came when I was ensconced down at Newsmax TV in South Florida, where I would go in, you know, and I know now that Publix has come to North Carolina, but perhaps not to the degree that it blankets Florida. And so you don't say, even though there are a few Winn-Dixies, that may be hard, but a few Winn-Dixies in South Florida, there are just a plethora of Publix stores. And so I was in what passed for my neighborhood Publix store down there in 2016, and the lady checking everybody out at the cash register, whatever you call the newfangled device. I guess it still counts as the scanner, right? The scanner and register. Anyway, she says, hey, let me tell you something. Don't tell anybody, but I'm going to vote for Trump. So Donald Trump became, for some people, like a guilty pleasure. They didn't want to admit to their friends they were going to vote for Mr. Trump, but with the secret ballot, lo and behold, the greatest upset in American political history, though the guys I knew working on the campaign very close to the top, the last week of that fateful October/November of 2016, how can I put it best? There was a quiet confidence and a calm amidst the storm. Now, speaking of storms, whether by his own creation and penchant for publicity, the president does some things which generates some turbulence. And so yesterday, he's about to board Air Force One and fly out to, to Vegas, first of all, though he flew on out to California. He's using Vegas, ironically, as his base of operations. Flew there last night, coming out to Arizona tonight, and then back to Vegas, and I guess he'll bookend the Democrats thing with their debate tonight. He'll do something in Vegas or Nevada tomorrow. At any rate, before he gets on the plane, the reporters show up, and the questions have to deal with Attorney General Bill Barr, because you may recall last week, I mean, it was such big news. ABC broke into regular programming. There was George Snafalopoulos and Pierre Thomas, their Justice Department correspondent, playing a couple of sound bites from General Barr and acting like, well, this thing is all over. So the reporter begins with a simple question, and the president talks about a lot of stuff, but has an affirming description of his attorney general. Cut one.
I have total confidence in my attorney general.
Do you agree with his statement that you should stop tweeting about Justice Department
issues?
Well,
people like that, but, you know, everybody has the right to speak their mind. And I use social media. I guess I use it well because here I am. I'm here. And I probably wouldn't have gotten here without social media, because I certainly don't get fair press. So I wouldn't have gotten here without social media. And perhaps with all of the hoaxes, you had the impeachment hoax, you had the Mueller hoax, you had the Russia nonsense, all the scams. And if I didn't have social media, I probably wouldn't be here. So I'm very happy with social media, but I think he's doing an excellent job. He's a strong guy.
Yeah, let me go through chapter and verse of what's gone wrong, and let me tell you why I do tweet, but the AG is a strong guy. The reporter follows up with this question: Mr. President, are you making it tough to do his job? Tough for him to do his job? The president answers thusly. Cut two.
Yeah, I do make his job harder. I do agree with that. I think that's true. He's a very straight shooter. We have a great attorney general, and he's working very hard. And he's working against a lot of people that don't want to see good things happen, in my opinion. That's my opinion, not his opinion. That's my opinion. You'll have to ask what his opinion is.
Now, the reason the president was articulating that, of course, last week, the latest trap that the Democrats and the left, but I repeat myself, wanted to spring on this president is, oh, this president told the attorney general, you better change the sentencing for Roger Stone. We'll get into why that was a stone cold lie, but it shouldn't surprise us. And speaking of news that may be less than accurate, the Washington Post, the newspaper, when I was serving in Congress as a conservative Republican and there would be a special election, we'd have a meeting and we'd say, okay, guys, let's make sure the Washington Post doesn't mention the outcome of this special election until page 18A. In other words, when Republicans won, the story was buried, but any Democrat triumph or illusory win would be front and center. And so late last night, the Washington Post, Attorney General Barr is going to quit. He's going to quit. He's expressed his frustration to highly placed administration sources. Well, an unsourced story, especially from a paper that adopted under its banner right when President Trump took office, Democracy Dies in Darkness. We all get flummoxed by fake news, and that's what they got going. Now, I got some other theories on this, and some of the Washington smarties have some things to say, and we'll get to all that right after we step aside. It's JD for Vince.
This is the Vince Coakley radio program.
Toll free from any place, 1-800-928-1110. Charlotte and vicinity, 704-570-1110. So the Washington Post last night, early this morning, whenever, starts all this. Well, Attorney General Barr has told some highly placed administration sources that he's considering leaving. Now, as soon as the Post put that out, the Justice Department spokesman said, nah, ain't gonna happen. General Barr expressed in an interview with ABC News last week that he was a bit flummoxed by the president's use of tweets. In fact, let's take you back, because this always comes down, especially in a Republican administration. See, the oldest thing that, quote, political reporters like is, let you and him fight. And if it's friendly fire within an administration, and the administration is Republican, well, that's hitting the daily double, given the ideological predisposition of most, quote, journalists, end quote. So last week, General Barr said, you know what, this tweeting, and I'm paraphrasing, it makes my job tougher. And boy, Pierre Thomas, the ABC News Justice Department correspondent, he kind of sat up in his seat. Well, Mr. Attorney General, what does that mean for the future of your job? And Attorney General William Barr responded in this fashion. This is cut three.
I came in to serve as Attorney General. I am responsible for everything that happens in the department, but the thing I have most responsibility for are the issues that are brought to me for decision. And I will make those decisions based on what I think is the right thing to do, and I'm not going to be bullied or influenced by anybody. And I said at the time, whether it's Congress, newspaper, editorial boards, or the president, I'm going to do what I think is right.
All right, that pretty much settles it. But Washington operates again on a couple of things. Number one, what job does a person currently hold? What job would they like to have? And number two, since our system is adversarial and partisan, and I, in this case, just descriptive, I'm not stating that as a pejorative, but what often happens is here is one vision for the future, here's the other one, or more recently, here is an incumbent president trying to do his job, and here is the Democrat bunch on Capitol Hill and in the media doing their best to disrupt it. But General Barr had a point that was expressed to me all the way from Australia. Guy I grew up with. In fact, he probably grew up not far from Pat McCrory's ancestral home over there in Jamestown, because they both went to Lucy Coffin Ragsdale High School. But this particular gentleman, who ironically, Jamestown Junior High had a closed-circuit TV system, so this guy was the anchorman. The anchor man, he was kind of a big deal. And on Christmas Day, circa 1974, I guess it was, Channel 8 and High Point had the kids from Jamestown Junior High come in and anchor the news as a salute to young people everywhere. So this guy didn't ask permission to use his name, but I don't think he'll mind. So Charlie Shavitz somehow ends up in Australia with a big job for a major corporation, and he even now messages kind of in Australian with some idioms and some figures of speech that I don't understand. But I did understand this. He sent me this thing the other week, and I'm only imagining Charlie now with an Australian accent. J-Day. The thing about Trump, he could be greater than Reagan if he just stopped tweeting. So why don't you ask your audience the next time you're behind the microphone, why don't you ask, what would it be like if President Trump quit tweeting? And I've heard that a lot, and especially there are a lot of ladies out there. Don't forget those ladies, y'all. A lot of ladies do not like the tweets. A lot of the anti-Trumpers don't like the tweets. But most of Mr. Trump's faithful base absolutely groove on him. And I think I've told you before, because when you come from an environment where there are consultants saying, now look, you're big and you're kind of outspoken and you don't want people to call you a bully. And boy, sure enough, my last go-around for Congress, the Arizona Repugnant, that's the desert version of the Charlotte Disturber, closed circuit to Greenville. I never had a problem with the Greenville News during my days at Channel 4 or otherwise. Greenville News has always been great to me. Anyway, they write a thing. I turned to look at my opponent because I want to hear what he had to say, and they decided, the editorialist decided to mind read for me, and I was trying to bully the guy. I mean, it was just nuts. So the editor, reject the bully. So you come from that environment, and when you see President Trump, who is the disruptor in chief, just doing his thing, you go, hey, that's pretty cool. But there is a challenge inherent in all of this, and it's setting up legal cases that when there are pending legal cases, sure, the president and every American has a right to say what's on their mind, but the concern is, since the president is in what Theodore Roosevelt called the bully pulpit, believe. In other words, people listen to the president. No matter who the president is, he commands more attention than most folks. And he can, the argument is, he can have a harmful effect on the on American jurisprudence. I'll give you a historical case, but right now, reminiscent of the Goodson-Todson game show of the 1950s, the name's the same. I mean, how wild is it now that there is a Republican senator named John Kennedy? But that's what we have now. And he is not the gentleman from Massachusetts who lives on in history, who sadly was taken from us far too soon. Not the Democrat from Massachusetts, but the Republican from Louisiana. Senator John Kennedy was on Face the Nation on CBS Sunday and basically saying, oh, sure, the president has a right to tweet and speak out, but having that right doesn't make it right. Cut four.
Does the president have a right to tweet about a case? Of course. Just because you can sing, though, doesn't mean you should sing.
Well, that's the way they put it down in Louisiana. So let me put the question to you. Do you like the notion that my buddy from down under, one-time North Carolinian turned Arizonan Charlie Shavitt, saying this guy could be greater than Reagan if he just stopped tweeting? Do you believe that, or are tweets part of the total package and a good thing? President Trump and the tweets. Your phone calls, 704-570-1110, 1-800-928-1110. It's J.D. for Vince.
This is the Vince Coakley radio program.
The Vince Coakley radio program is on the air. It just ain't Vince behind the mic. The recovering congressman, High Point native, NC State grad, and former Channel 4 Greenville sports anchor, J.D. Hayworth, behind the microphone. Toll-free from any place. It's 1-800-928-1110. Charlotte and vicinity, 704-570-1110. Next hour. Again, the exclusive upstate content when WBT offers Bill O'Reilly, WORD Greenville Spartanburg. You and I get to talk about what's in a nickname, Bubba, Bubber, and Pinky. We'll get to that. Oh, yeah, next hour, among other topics, were I a Democrat and the Charlotte Disturber offered an editorial with the endorsement of a Republican, the way they did it, this is a little bit inside out. I'm trying to explain to you why, if the Disturber actually got involved in a Republican primary for the Senate and made the choice the Disturber did for the North Carolina Democrats, why, if they did it for the Republicans, why Democrats would shout racism. Gee, that sounds a bit obtuse. All the synapses up here were firing, I guarantee. I'll try to explain that next hour, among other things. Here it was a simple question. And maybe it's a topic you visited before you thought about. But since it came from a North Carolinian turned Australian, I thought I'd give him a shout out and use it on the air. And that is, would President Trump be in the pantheon of great presidents like Ronald Reagan were he not to have Twitter? Or has he taken Twitter and social media, the point where he is our tweeter-in-chief, and the nation is all a Twitter, and this president needs that to go straight to the American people. It's what he says he needs. So your thoughts on that. Now, I mentioned it earlier, but I need to give you a real historical example. Yes, every American has a First Amendment right to say what is on his or her mind, even the President of the United States. But when it comes to judicial proceedings, back in the day, we used to call the chief executive the chief magistrate. And so really, when you take a look at the government, I guess, organizational chart in the executive branch, the president is the guy, chief executive, commander-in-chief of the military, and, yes, chief magistrate. Why? Because his oath says he must take care that the laws are faithfully executed. So I'm going to take you back. Back way, way before the internet, back when people really read newspapers, little closed circuit, shout out to the bankrupt McClatchy chain and the troubled, the financially troubled and intellectually challenged Charlotte Disturber. Okay, got that little rhetorical elbow in place. It was when crazy Charles Manson of infamy, the Tate-LoBianco murders, recently reimagined but changed in that Quentin Tarantino film, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Kind of interesting how Tarantino takes a historical event and gives us something other than what happened, at least in our universe. But I don't want to get into that movie and spoil that for you. I'm simply going back to the man, the monster, the mind control guy who was Charles Manson, who perished in prison there at San Quentin a couple of years back. But when that trial was going on, President Nixon, every couple of weeks, would have a primetime presidential news conference. And I don't believe this happened there, but his rejoinder for this happened. At any rate, somehow President Nixon, while the trial is going on, says, "Oh, this Manson guy, he's obviously guilty." And so the Los Angeles Times, or one of the newspapers out there where the trial was going on, the paper, the banner headline, "Manson guilty, Nixon declares." And so Charles Manson is sitting there at the defense table, and he grabs the paper, and he holds it up. You've seen that photo. It shows up in your history books. Harry Truman. Dewey defeats Truman. That whole thing that turned out to be wrong. Colonel McCormick and the Chicago Tribune thought Truman was vapor, that Tom Dewey was going to win in 48. And so there is Harry Truman holding up that newspaper after he wins election in an upset manner, and that's kind of become an iconic photo. Well, think of a more demonic kind of thing. There's Charles Manson holding up the paper that says, "Manson guilty, Nixon declares." The judge gets he hammers the gavel, and he says, "Jurors, did you see that?" And they go, no, we didn't see what was going on, because presumably they were listening to the testimony and whatever. And so later, Nixon has a press conference, one of those primetime presidential press conferences. He's asked about this, and he says, "Look, as an old attorney, at times I have ideas about cases. I was just playing more as an attorney and a citizen than president of the United States." Bottom line is, on these tweets about outcomes of DOJ cases, the president's got to watch his step. Just saying. And now I got to say, get ready for hour two. It's JD for Vince. Please stay tuned.
This is the Vince Coakley radio program.